Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Thursday, October the 27th. And welcome to our commentary. You know, the World Series is starting Friday night, and it puts Houston versus Philadelphia. Most of the experts are probably going to pick Houston because they've been there four times now in the last 6 years, and, you know, they're just an absolutely great team. I would not underestimate Philadelphia, who came out of nowhere to get into the World Series. They do have a guy named Bryan Harper, who is one heck of a player. Is it Bryan Harper? Maybe I'm wrong, but Harper, who is a great, an absolutely great player. So I'm going to bet on the Astros, but, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Philadelphia pulls it out because they seem to be running on magic here the last couple of weeks. But there's something very interesting about the 2022 World Series, and something that goes beyond baseball, and it really gets into what is happening in the country. This is the first time since 1950, so that would be 72 years, that there's not one single U.S.-born black player on a team. Now, there are some blacks, of course, in this World Series, but they are Caribbeans, Dominican Republic, Puerto Rico, Venezuela. But this is the first time that you have not had a single player on either side who is an American-born black player. And that is really amazing when you think about it. Now, a little bit of it is freaky in the sense that San Diego had a couple of African-Americans, and the Yankees had at least two of them, Aaron Judge and Stanton. So had they gotten in, this would not be an issue. But it does raise a question as to what exactly has happened to baseball in the African-American community in the United States, because the fact is that African-Americans are not playing baseball like they used to. I mean, it's not the sport of choice. It's not the sport that let's just say African-American young men want to get into in school. It looks like they want to play basketball or they want to play football. But when it comes to baseball, they're not as excited or as attracted to it as they used to be. And, of course, the consequences are that there are less and less African-American players in the major leagues. I mean, many less than there used to be. You know, when Jackie Robinson made his last public appearance, that was in 1972. He was dying. He was very sick. But he went to the 1972 World Series, and he spoke during the game, and he looked at the players. Well, he saw a lot of African-American players on those teams, Reggie Jackson, you know, Vida Blue, Joe Morgan, just to think of three great players. Two of those guys, Reggie Jackson and Joe Morgan, are in the Hall of Fame. And he did say at that appearance in 1972 that he was hoping that someday he could see a black manager in the dugout. Well, that years later when Frank Robinson was named the manager of the Cleveland Indians. But it's hard to believe that, you know, African-Americans in baseball have sort of lost touch with each other, and there just isn't the same interest. And what a shame, because Major League Baseball was at the forefront of the civil rights movement with Jackie Robinson, of course, breaking the color line in 1972, and all the great, great African-American players who came into Major League Baseball in the 1950s, like Henry Aaron, like Frank Robinson, just to name two, who are also in the Hall of Fame. So, you know, I don't know if this is something that many people will talk about. There is an article in Sports Illustrated talking about this, and I have a post coming out Friday morning talking about this. But it is really amazing to me when you think of all the great African-American players, Willie Mays, Reggie Jackson, Bob Gibson, Curt Flood. I mean, you just think about Eddie Murray with the Orioles, Frank Robinson. I think I mentioned him, Paul Blair. I mean, all the great African-American players that we grew up watching. I mean, all the baseball cards that I had of so many of these guys. And here we have a World Series, and there's not a single American-born black player on either side. really remarkable. And I hope that Major League Baseball pays attention to that and realizes that they have to do a better job, frankly, of selling the game in the African-American community. They're just going to have to do a better job of doing it because, you know, you cannot lose. You know, when you don't have African-Americans playing baseball, it's not just a matter of race. It's also a matter of quality of players. I mean, some of the greatest athletes in school are young African-Americans. And if they're playing other sports, well, those people are not playing baseball. And they could be playing baseball and making a great name for themselves and making the game better. You know, the game became a much better game after Jackie Robinson broke the color line. I mean, the 1950s were the golden years of baseball. 1960s, great years. And a lot of it had to do with all of these black players who came into Major League Baseball who could not play before. So I'm hoping that this will change. And I'm hoping that Major League Baseball really focuses on putting the game in the hearts of African Americans. As I say, you know, the civil rights movement and Major League Baseball were a huge team back in the late 40s and early 50s, bringing African Americans into the game. And I just hope that we can correct this situation. It's sad for me that there isn't a single American-born black player in the World Series of 2022. It's going to be a great series. There are two great teams, but it's a shame that that situation is a reality about the absence of an American-born black player on either side. I just heard a very interesting commentary, and I wanted to share parts of it with you, and I'm going to recommend that you check it out. All of you remember Dick Morris, who well-known pollster and political commentator. I think he's got a show on Newsmax, if I'm correct. I usually follow him on his website. He's got a daily video. He's a very interesting guy. He's not always right, okay, just to be honest. He got, I know he got Mitt Romney wrong. He had predicted Mitt Romney would defeat Barack Obama back in 2012, but he gets most of them right. But today he gave an analysis of the abortion issue. He said, why didn't the abortion issue work for the Democrats the way that they thought it would? And this is the best explanation I've heard so far, and it makes a lot of sense. Before, during the time of Roe v. Wade, abortion was an issue that would really energize the extremes because you had over here the pro-life, the pro-abortion, and they couldn't talk about abortion because the topic of abortion had been frozen by this opinion of the Supreme Court. Once the Supreme Court sent it back to the states, now the issue has gone to the states, and the extremes are not winning. The extremes are actually losing. The people who say no abortions, they're not winning the debate. And the people who say abortion until the last day of the pregnancy, they're not winning either. And who is winning? A more moderate position, a more position in the middle that says, okay, we're going to allow abortion, let's say for 10 weeks, 15 weeks, whatever the case may be, and that we're not going to allow abortion after that. And that, I think, is the reason that abortion didn't turn out to be the issue that the Democrats were thinking about. The other factor, I think, is that if you live in a blue, New York, California, New Jersey, Massachusetts, Illinois, not much has changed because you basically wrote your own opinion or your own law very similar to Roe v. Wade. So in New York and California, abortion will be available at any moment in the pregnancy. There are no limitations. And if you live in Illinois, the same thing. So in a sense, by putting it back in the hands of the public, that took extremes. I think this is the best explanation, frankly, that I've heard on the abortion issue since it became a big issue in May or June, whenever the Supreme Court reversed Roe v. Wade. Well, something very interesting is happening with the Congressional Hispanic Caucus. This is the group, I guess, in the Congress that Hispanic legislators. They apparently don't want to allow Myra Flores, this is the lady in South Texas, the Republican lady in South Texas who was elected to a House seat. She's currently, by the way, in reelection with another Democrat. That's in district, I believe, number 34 down in South Texas. And it's a very close election at the moment, because you've got two incumbents basically running against each other in that district. You got Mayra Flores, who is a current representative, running against Vicente Gonzalez, who's also a current representative. So one of those two is going to lose their job in the Congress. One will return to the Congress, I guess. And they don't want to let her in. And it's really obscene. I mean, she's a Hispanic lady. Why don't they let her in? And it really shows you the hypocrisy of these organizations. They're not really about Hispanics. What they want is a liberal Hispanic. That's what they want. Now, I don't know if eventually they're going to let her in, but I do know this, and this is why the Democrats are freaking out over the Hispanic vote. USA Today just came out with a poll. You know, you're going to see a lot of polls here between now and Tuesday the 8th, all kinds of polls. So I don't know if this one is true or not. So, you know, we don't know. All these polls, we don't know if they're true or not. But USA Today came out with a poll that said that Hispanics are going to vote 40% Republican. But here's the one. Here's the one that is really, really mind-boggling and has to have the Democrats really thinking about it. 21% Black. If those numbers are anywhere near the truth, you don't even need 35%. And with Blacks, you don't need 21. You need 15. If those numbers are correct, that's going to be a big reason for the so-called wave or tsunami. Because if the Republicans are getting numbers like that, it's going to be a very bad election day for the Democrats. And there are going to be some senators, like from Arizona, Nevada, who are going to have a hard time surviving, Democrat senators, because numbers like this are going to be helping Republicans across the country, particularly in states with high population, Hispanic population. Now, as far as the Black population, well, that could be helpful, let's say, to Herschel Walker in Georgia. That could be very helpful to him in Georgia. We'll see. We'll see how all of these polls pan out. But the reality is that if these numbers are true, 40%, 21%, 40% for Hispanics, 21% for African Americans, that is bad news, very bad news for the Democrats, to say the least. Well, let me leave you with a couple of things on this day in history. On this day in 1970, I remember this, the Broadway show Jesus Christ Superstar started on Broadway. Now, I had a lot of problems with that show, the whole idea of Jesus Christ Superstar. You know, a lot of us had problems with that. Eventually, I kind of liked the music, but I never actually got into the play or whatever it was. I think it became a movie as well. I never really got into it. I never really got into it, although some of the songs were okay. I think there was one called I Don't Know How to Love Him. I think that was the name of the song. But overall, I know that it was very popular, but I never really got into it too much. And on this day in 2011, this is a tragic day for Texas Rangers fans. Very tragic day, because we were watching TV and we thought the Rangers were going to win the World Series. In the bottom of the ninth, the Rangers had two outs and two strikes, and they lost the lead. You know, the fly ball to right field that Nelson Cruz couldn't catch. And then in the 10th inning, the Rangers once again go to the bottom of the 10th with a two-run lead, two strikes, two outs, and the Cardinals tied the game. They eventually won the game in the 12th, I think it was. But you're talking about a heartbreaker of a day. I remember watching this game on television. This was probably the most heartbreaking game that the Texas Rangers had ever played. Twice, they were within a strike of winning the World Series, in the 9th inning and in the 10th inning, and they couldn't do it. Oh, man, I remember that night. I couldn't sleep. I was so heartbroken. I couldn't sleep. Well, thank you very much for listening. Have an absolutely wonderful day. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye, everybody.